want to talk to you today about, for a few minutes, is one child, many names. One child, many names. I want to look at Isaiah 9, verses 1 through 7 with you. Isaiah 9, verses 1 through 7. We were just singing some of this passage. Isaiah 9, 1 through 7. Getting to read in verse 1. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea and along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning. Will he be called, will there be fuel for the fire? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your plan. Lord, forgive us as your plan unfolds for becoming impatient. Lord, we have all been waiting for you to fulfill prophecy that has come forth in the last couple of years. And although we know it will be fulfilled, we become impatient, and we just pray that, Lord, you will give us the grace to be able to just hang on and trust you. Because, Lord, you came as one child, but many names. Lord, we just pray you bless this time, bless your word. Lord, put watch on my mouth that I would only speak the words you've ordained for this morning. Not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. In our gloom and despair, we feel that our sorrows and troubles will never end. Do you ever feel like that? Let's be honest. We're in church. Sometimes it feels like I'm just never going to get beyond this, because when I recover from one blow, here comes another blow, and then there's another one, and then there's another one. And it starts to feel like you're caught in a storm that will never end. But I'm here to tell you today, have hope. Because the storm we're in will end. We have a Savior that has many names because he has many righteous attributes. We can take comfort in this certainty, although the Lord may not always spare us from troubles, if we follow him wholeheartedly, he will lead us safely through them. Something that I have always despised when I hear preachers do it. When preachers give an altar call and invite people to come forward and give their lives to Christ, And they do that while telling them that their life is going to be wonderful and all their troubles are going to go away. How many of you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And that's not true. For most of us, when we align ourselves with Christ, we get a target on our back, and in many cases, our lives get harder because then we become like salmon that are swimming upstream because we are now going opposite of the way of the world. Am I making sense to somebody this morning? So the truth of the matter is, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. So in Christ, we overcome the world. We overcome every trouble that we have. Every single thing. In our text, it says in verse 2, a light has dawned. There was darkness and a sense of doom, and Christ was born, and there was a light that dawned. Yes, there was a great star that shone and drew many to come and worship Jesus after he was born in the manger, and they brought gifts for him. But that light that star brought was something, but it was nothing compared to the light that Christ brought into the world. See, that star was a guiding light of sorts, wasn't it?
Yes.
But Jesus is a guiding light for all eternity.
Amen.
A light has dawned. In the Gospel of John 1, verse 9, it says, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. John also then referred to Jesus as the light. In another verse, in 1 John, the letter, not the gospel, it says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. He is light. It's why when we come out of the darkness and into the light by coming to Jesus Christ, all of a sudden we have some vision for our life that we did not have before. You know, before I was saved, I just muddled through and tried to get through day by day. Yes. Now, mind you, when things are hard, sometimes we start feeling like we're doing that. But as we are in Christ, we should not be living that way. We should be living with vision. God gives his people vision, and through that vision, he gives hope. Now, yes, we have to live one day at a time. I'm not saying we don't. But God gives vision. He gives us plans. You know, it's an amazing thing. Talking about prophecy and looking into prophecy. This passage I just read in Isaiah was penned right around 740 B.C. 740 years before Christ, Isaiah got a prophetic word and wrote it down, and I'm here to tell you it came to pass.
That's right.
Yeah. What we just read in John 1, verse 9, was penned right around 90 AD. Look at how many years went by. Look at how many years it took for the fulfillment of the prophecy that came through Isaiah. See, I'm trying to make you see something here so that we don't become discouraged. Just because we hear a prophecy and it doesn't happen tomorrow or next week or next month does not mean that that prophecy is not true. And our God gives us the grace in Christ to be able to be overcomers and go through what we are called to go through. It's no accident that you and I are alive today. We're alive today by God's design because He has called us to be lights with Christ in us. Yes, we are all crackpots in the sense that we're all made from dirt and we are cracked earthen vessels because we're imperfect. Amen? Yes. So we're all crackpots. But the good news is when we're full of Jesus Christ, the light of God shines through the cracks. My friends, that's powerful. Our God is powerful. In John chapter 8, Gospel of John chapter 8 and verse 12, it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There it is again. There it is. We have no reason as believers to stumble around in darkness like I did BC. We have no reason to do that because we have the light of God, our salvation indwelling us, living in us. Thank God for the plan of salvation. That salvation would come through a child born on this earth. I'll be a deity as well. So then Jesus referred to Himself as the light also. And in Revelation 21, verse 23, which was also, the revelation was given to John. It says, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. It's talking about the new city that comes down out of heaven, the new Jerusalem that comes down to earth. There will be no more need for the sun and the moon and the stars, because the glory of God is going to shine so brightly, it will light the new city. Glory, hallelujah. Have you thought about the ones that are not in the city? If there is no more sun and there is no moon, and there is no more stars, those that don't dwell in the city on this earth at that time will walk in darkness. Yes. Have you thought about that?
Yeah.
We really do mean to follow God and do everything we can to reach the lost. It's what Jesus Christ came for. I was at one time one of those people that was lost. Didn't understand there was one way, and that was Jesus. Just didn't understand it should have. But I was 25 years old before that reality really hit me in the face. Oh my gosh, I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. Have you come to that reality? Oh my gosh, I'm a sinner. I sin and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So what every one of us deserved was death because we are so evil. Say, well, I'm not that bad. I haven't killed anybody. Really? What have you done with your tongue? Jesus said we didn't even have to commit the act. All we had to do was do it in our heart. Speak it forth with our mouth. Now I ask you, how many people have you killed? See, we're all guilty. It's why Romans 3:23 says, for all sin and fall short of the glory of God. There is no exception. There is only one that ever walked this earth that was sinless. It wasn't John the Baptist. It wasn't Elijah. It wasn't Moses. It was the one that came, born, and laid in an animal's manger. Lived 33 years on this earth. Died. Was whipped for our healing. Rose again from the dead to conquer salvation for every one of us. So that in receiving Him, we would not know the second death. We would not know darkness. We would only know light. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Says in verse 6 of our text in Isaiah. The first phrase in that speaks of Jesus' humanity. To us a child is born. It speaks to the fact that Jesus was human. He had a human body. It had to be that way. God had to come in a human body to pay the price for sin because He had to live sinless to be able to qualify to be the sacrifice for our sins. It's the only way it could work, guys. The price had to be paid by a sinless person. It's the only way it could work. The second phrase speaks of His deity. Today a son is given, the living word. It was the deity side of Him. His father was not Joseph. His dad was Joseph. But His mother was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and she conceived. So it was a divine happening. The rest of the verse describes Jesus' attributes. Like, the government will be on His shoulders. The government will be on His shoulders. You know, that's mainly speaking of the government of His kingdom. Mm-hmm. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yes. Lord's Prayer. Government will be on His shoulder. He shoulders the government of His kingdom. He will reign as King of kings and Lord of lords. Do you believe that? Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. If you have your Bibles, turn there with me. Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. And John says these words in the revelation that he was given. He said, I saw heaven standing open, and it opened, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This was penned about 86 AD. And was speaking of what's to come. We are waiting for this. Amen. I've told people that know me, people that are close to me for years, I want my white horse. I want to flank Jesus when he comes back to open the to loose the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God on those that are so evil. Those that murder innocent. Do you hear what I'm saying? Those that have done harm to God's people. Those that have martyred God's people over the years. I want to see that. Maybe you might say, well, Pastor Wayne, that's a little extreme. I'm a little extreme. I always have been. I want to see the righteousness of God prevail in the end. And we will see it. We need to pray that the judgment of God comes. We should be praying for that, because the judgment of God causes repentance for some people. So we should pray for the judgment of God. See, when I make that statement, I've made that statement before, people always look at me with that narrow-eyed look. Are you crazy, Pastor? See, I would much rather pray for the judgment of God to come than I would like to pray for patience. I don't pray for patience for myself. I'll pray for it for you. But I don't pray for that for me, man. That brings tough stuff in your life, man. But I pray for the judgment of God, because the judgment of God is a loving act that God allows people to have things come into their life that brings them to the end of themselves, so that they will turn to Him and move from walking in darkness to the light of God by receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Am I making sense this morning? But see, the wrath of God is something completely different. When the wrath of God is unleashed, people are going to get dead. That's what has happened every single time in history that God unleashed His wrath. People got dead. That's just the facts of it. And you know what? Our God is righteous, and our God is just. I've said for a long time, I'm really glad He's God and I'm not, because there probably would have been a lot of people smoked that shouldn't have been if I was God. Is anybody else? Come on, let's get real. Let's get real. It's a good thing I'm not God, because he's a lot more patient than I am.
Amen.
My wife just gave me a really strong amen. It's okay. Preach, girl. Help me. His eyes are like a blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. Wow. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood. I wonder whose blood that is. Jesus' blood. And isn't it something that we are told in Scripture that likewise we are given a robe of righteousness? And it's a robe of righteousness, not because the robe is perfect, but because it's been dipped in the blood, excuse me, of the Lamb. That's the robe of righteousness that we receive. He's a wonderful counselor. We have access to his wisdom in all things. Guys, I think many times, way too long, too many believers are still depending on their own wisdom, on man's wisdom. We have got to learn to lean on our wonderful counselor. That means pray and wait for an answer before we go off half-cocked. If we've not heard from God yet, don't do it. Don't move yet. Don't make that move. We've got a wonderful counselor. And he gives us the wisdom that we need in every decision. The other thing is, a lot of people get themselves in trouble by making too many decisions that they deem to be little decisions that don't make that much difference. But we can get our lives off in a ditch in making the wrong decision and all the little decisions too. So what I'm saying is, we got to get over seeking God on the big decisions and, well, it's my life with the rest of them, and we just go off half-cocked. Am I making sense?
Yes.
He came to be our wonderful counselor. When he went back to the Father, the Holy Spirit was sent to indwell us and be that representative to live with us. So he's a wonderful counselor. He's also a mighty God. That means he's an omnipotent, supreme ruler. Mighty God. Guys, I can't say this often enough. We all need to get this etched into the depths of our brain. We have a great, big, massive God and a little bitty devil. Too many times people have made the devil too big in their own thoughts. I'm not saying you just ignore what the devil's up to, because there's a reason we've been called to walk in spiritual warfare. So we do need to pay attention and be privy to what the devil's doing. But while we're doing that, we need to understand that we've already got the victory because Jesus Christ came, lived, died, and rose again to give us the victory that is in Jesus Christ. He's also the everlasting Father. The everlasting Father. In other words, he's the source of eternity. That's hard to get our minds around, but God always has been. He's in the now, right now. God is here right now. I hope he's smiling. I don't see him physically right now, but I know that he's here because I believe his word. Do you believe his word?
Yes.
His word says where two or three are gathered together in His name, there He is in the midst of them. So I know He's here. Not only that, I feel His presence. I know my God. I very much feel His presence in this place. I don't just depend on feelings, mind you, because depending on feelings will take you off in the ditch as well. Our feelings lie to us sometimes. Am I making sense? So He's the source of eternity. He inhabits and possesses eternity. Always has been, is right now, and always will be. That blows my mind. I mean, think about it. When we get to eternity, we're going to live with access to the throne of God forever and ever and ever and ever. And the light is going to be the light of God. We don't need no moon or stars or sun. We need the star. S-U-N-S-O-N. We need the sun to realize all that. But we won't need the sun, S-U-N, anymore. There's all this talk. Can I preach? Can I just haul off and preach? I got to get it out. There's all of this talk. First it was global warming. Now they've changed the term. Because started noticing that instead of the ice receding, it started building back again. At the North Pole. So they had to change their terminology. So now it's climate change. If we don't do something, climate change is going to kill everybody. Are you freaked out yet? What's my point? Well, they're saying that the sun will go dark. And then another person says that it's going to burn too brightly and it's going to burn us all. It's going to fry us all. Well, I'm here to tell you that there is a sun that is not ever going to burn out. He's the Son of the living God. And He, without Him, we'll all burn. Amen. Without the Son of God, everything burns. It's all going to burn. All the things that are so precious to us on this earth, it's all going to burn when the trumpet blows and Jesus Christ returns on that white stallion and He smokes the earth with the sword that is coming out of His mouth. When He smites the earth, everything will be destroyed that is not under the blood of the Lamb of God. Everything that is not covered with the robe of righteousness will be laid bare and will be burned and vaporized to a crisp. But the very ones that are worried about climate change are the ones that reject Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Yes. They're the ones that are worshiping Santa Claus in this season instead of the one that the season is about. I told you I felt like preaching. See, this has been eating at me, and this is a great opportunity to get up. Are you with me? Am I making sense? We don't need to fear climate change. Ultimately, there's nothing we can do about it anyway. There's nothing that can be done. What we need to carry as a message to people in this world is there is a day of reckoning coming, and you don't want it to come without Jesus living in your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. He came as a child. It's why we celebrate Christmas. It's why we give gifts. At least it's supposed to be. It was originally. But as with everything else, Christmas has been hijacked. And I say, we believers take it back this year. Always when I'm in a store or anywhere where it's not supposed to be popular to say Christmas, I always make sure I say Merry Christmas. Because Jesus is the reason for the season. And I know you're probably sick of catchphrases, but that's the reality. Woo! I need to rest more often. Jim told me downstairs, he goes, "You're quite fired up today, aren't you?" He's the Prince of Peace. We've gotten this mixed up over the years, and I say we, I mean, I'm talking about believers. We've gotten that phrase messed up. See, what the Word of God says is He came to turn brother against brother. And sister against sister. And father against son. I'm getting them narrow-eyed looks again. That's what the Word of God says. I'm speaking the Word of God to. Confusion. Am I confusing you? I'm going to straighten it out. You see, I'm seeing it right now, this year. I've seen families that won't even speak to each other anymore because of masks.
Yeah. And shots.
And shots. Won't even speak to each other. Well, if you don't get the shots, you can't see your grandchild. People would do well not to threaten me. Because I'd say, well, if that's the way it is, that's the way it is. But I'm in charge of my own health, and nobody's going to tell me what I got to do with my health.
Right.
Nobody! Not a governor? Are you listening, Mr. Pritzker? Not a supposed to be president. Not a judge. No one is going to tell me what I got to do with my health. Because I ain't playing. Whatever you do with all that needs to be your own decision. That's the bottom line. So, He came to give us inner peace. He's the Prince of Peace when He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in here. And we can have peace no matter what our external circumstances are. We can maintain our peace because of that relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our wonderful Counselor, our Prince of Peace.
King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And in the end, he will restore peace to the world. Real peace. You believe that?
Yes.
He will. He'll restore peace. How many of you realize, before Adam and Eve were in the garden and took of the forbidden tree, there was perfect peace? And then when they sinned, the next thing that happened was Cain and Abel. Death definitely entered the world. Murder. That murderous spirit came forth. It's amazing, isn't it? Satan said, "You will surely not die." He lied. Yeah. One thing you can count on with Satan is he's going to lie. When he tells you something, you can count on it's a lie. It's twisted somehow. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And he's the one that brings peace to a troubled world through bringing peace inside of his people that live temporarily in this troubled world. Jesus' peaceful government. Last scripture is Philippians 2, 7 through 11. Philippians 2, 7 through 11. Kind of a different kind of a pre-Christmas message, isn't it? It's what God put in my heart. So, hey, it's His church, we're His people, right? Philippians 2, beginning to read in verse 7. But made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There it is. Being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he was obedient to death, even says, clarifies, even death on a cross. Why so strongly clarifying that by saying again about death? Well, I think it's probably because of the fact that the cross was a symbol of shame. Those that were hung on a cross to die were hung there where everyone could see to shame them. The last thing those people knew that died on those crosses was shame, except two. Two. I didn't say one. I said two. There was one at the side of Jesus that repented and said, "When you come into your glory, remember me." And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me." And that's why I said there were two that died on the cross. And in the end, did not suffer shame. Jesus suffered no shame. He knew he had done no wrong. That's what qualified him to be the Savior of the world. But he went and he did all that because he loved you and me so very much. He knew full well, because he is God, what was going to happen. And I believe every detail. When he went through the process of being birthed through a human womb and laid in that manger, which apparently was not like we think about the manger. We've seen all kinds of manger. The manger's made out of wood. That's not it, guys. But it's easier than hauling a great big stone around with a flat hewn-out spot. Because apparently, it was actually a hewn-out stone that was used as a manger in that kind of type of a setting. And that was what he was laid in. He knew the beginning from the end because of his God. He knew when he was laid in that manger and people came to worship him. He knew. Even though he was a newborn babe, he knew when he left heaven to come and do what he did to pay the price, he knew what would be. He knew he would hang on that cross. He knew he would live sinless. He was determined to pay the price for all humanity. He knew every bit of it beforehand. And he did it. He did it. And he spoke these words before his head dropped when he drew his last. It is finished. I pray that this Christmas will be the most fantastic Christmas that you've all ever had. Not because of more gifts or more this, more that, but because of a deeper revelation of Jesus. Just simply because of that. Because that's all that's going to matter in eternity. All the other gifts that we receive are going to burn. Well, they might break before they burn and end up in the landfill. You know what it is. But you understand the point I make. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much that the plan of salvation was not an afterthought, a second thought on your behalf. You knew when you laid the foundations of the world, and you laid the plan already then. Father, as we walk in the reality of the fact that we need a Savior, and the only Savior that qualifies is Jesus. Lord, we welcome your Holy Spirit to make this Christmas season special. Yes. As we gather as families. Father, I pray that you would send forth a special dispensation of your Spirit to heal relationships in family this season. That, Lord, where there has been damaged relationships, that, Lord God, you would supernaturally cause parents that have been distanced or children that have been off-skyping from their parents to either just show up or pick up the phone and call. Because, Lord, the reality is you're our all-in-all. Lord, you're our Savior, you're our healer, you're our Redeemer, you're our Deliverer, you're our wonderful Counselor, you're the Lily of the Valley, you're the Rose of Sharon, Lord, you're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And the list goes on and on and on. Lord, thank you for being our Prince of Peace. Walk with us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Mary, would you come?
Yeah. I normally get a Christmas greeting in the bulletin. I didn't. But we wanted to give you one personally. You know, Christmas, it's a big deal. It is. And I received a card years and years ago from my niece and nephew. And on it, it says, baby, Jesus Christ was born on Christmas Day. Mary laid him in the hay. And the angel said, hip, hip, hooray. And that is what we should be feeling at Christmas.
Yes.
The true joy and the hip, hip, hooray, because it is that big of a deal.
Amen.
So we wanted to wish you from us, from our family, a very Merry Christmas. And when you start feeling a little down, just remember, even the hosts of angels are saying, hip, hip, hooray.
Amen. 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 Let's stand together. Father, thank you so much. I pray for your peace to abound in those hearts. And Lord, as we leave this place, everywhere we go, put people in our path that need to hear about you. For those that maybe know you and have backslid, Lord, pray that you will send them into our paths and that, Lord, we'd have words of encouragement for them. For those that have never known you, that, Lord God, we would be able to effectively share the gospel in this season. I know in this season people are more open than any time of the year. And we just pray in Jesus' name, you provide opportunities, Lord God, to witness for you and bring people into your kingdom. Watch over us now as we leave. Lord, we pray that you will just direct our every step, direct our every thought. May they be glorifying to you. Lord, either bring us back the day after Christmas, or for those that can, who come for our Christmas Eve service, Lord, bring us back safely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you.